with 28 guys. Now my odds are just better.
You know, I'm so bad at math, you guys. Don't help me.
Not an easy problem to have, but it's a fun one to have, going on date after date after date. I am the most uncoordinated, clumsy person. I think I had a pretty good picker.
Bring on the man.
Put up with me through the entire journey.
Don't you know?
So we're back on American soil. This means a lot. And yet we are going to the Bahamas this week. How exciting.
We are back in America.
We are back on
American
soil. Yeah,
I was
soil.
Confused at the beginning.
The show
we are
is
back
in
here.
A different place.
It's like we swapped like tropical we swapped. For domestic.
Yeah, don't they speak English in the Bahamas?
I think so.
Maybe we should ask the Baja man.
Maybe we should ask, what was his name? Action or whatever, the guy who jumped out of the boat.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah. See,
he spoke. That was English, I think, technically.
Or maybe it was more of a patois, if you will. Like a Jamaican
like
patois.
He sounded like he wasn't a native English speaker. Like he learned it second or third or fourth or whatever.
Yeah, what do they speak in the Bahamas? Somebody get back to us on that. You know,
We fire all these researchers immediately.
I know. We've got all these interns, and they're not
like,
even
what
actually
do they
doing
do?
Anything. So I was surprised to learn that we were going to lose two people tonight and not one person.
That was maybe
tonight.
The most surprising thing of the entire date. Nothing about any of this episode was surprising.
No, I thought at least they were going to
except the way our show ends, obviously.
Right. They were going to give us one more week of, you know, kind of putzing around and figuring out whether or not Wills was going to make his grand statement into the top four, and he did not.
No. No surprises.
Absolutely not. So why don't we just get to the end of the road since we're already there?
We're already talking about Wills. Let's just
So we lose Wills this week. He mumbled his way through sort of this dramatic speech about how much he was in love with Becca, and I really thought that this was going to be it.
He doesn't speak with a lot of passion. Like, he says things that are obviously true.
Passionate.
Yeah, he says things that are very clearly his feelings.
Correct.
And, like, he words them in a way that it's obvious he's been thinking about them, and they're not like, you know, like the way that Jason talks or...
Really? Because I think Jason speaks well.
How about the way that Blake talks?
Better.
Blake talks like he's auditioning to be the male role in a Danielle Steele novel.
Or the male lead in the Broadway version of Glee.
Yeah, he's just like, he's over the top, and it's
very
all, it all
intense.
Sounds like it came out of a
he's
Hallmark card.
So intense. I mean, we'll talk about this later, but did you see him when he kissed Becca after she gave him the rose, or after, like, he said he loved her? He, like, sighed into her mouth. I said, that is so f***ing disgusting.
Can you blame him? Look at his mom. Look what he came
from. Oh my God, I can't wait to talk about his mom! Oh my God, that was crazy!
His mom is like, one vertical box of face with a vertical box of hair on either side.
Listen, she's got some actual nerve her cheating face on his dad with his basketball coach /
oh,
English teacher
talk about that.
Looking like that. Okay, wait, back to Will.
She looks like her face is like how you would diagram the rule of thirds if you were explaining it to somebody.
She looks like Garnet from Steven Universe, and that is not a compliment.
She does. She looks like if somebody took one of those picture frames where you put three pictures in it, they're all the same size, and they put her picture in the middle and then pictures of their bushes on the other side.
It's like what cousin
zoomed
it,
in. Zoomed
like
in.
What cousin it looks like if you traced a piece of paper around a haircut.
Let's go back to Wills. This is his
okay,
end of the road
sorry,
after all.
Sorry. I mean, Wills brought all of his good outfits to waste on this show.
No. And Wills has no normal clothes.
He absolutely
Wills
doesn't.
Never, like, you see them all in the Bahamas, and you're like, oh, look at him. He brought his floral stuff. That's cool. He brought those two separate leopard print outfits to wear together to the Bahamas. And then you're like, wait a second. Everybody else is just in plain, solid color clothes because they had to pack for this, like, a month ago. And Wills just has no normal clothes.
Here's what I'd like to address. Wills has so many bold fashion choices and yet has not repeated a look on the show. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But that takes some pretty ballsy, you know, fashion choices. He could give Tan France a run for his money.
When I was in 7th grade, or maybe 8th grade, it was, like, fashionable for teenagers to just wear board shorts around, like, as actual shorts.
Trust me, we were teenagers at the exact same time.
Right, and it was also at a time in my life where I was wearing a lot of Hawaiian shirts. So I would wear floral on floral contrasting patterns, and I was like, this is dope.
Now, mind you, this was in Springfield, Illinois. How close 20 were years you ago. To any sort of body of water?
No body of water.
None.
You
got it.
You could maybe drive an hour and a half, 2 hours, to the Mississippi River.
Which is completely disgusting.
Get on a steamboat and ride it all day and maybe wake up and be near the ocean.
Maybe. It only takes a day to go down the Mississippi River and possibly get to the Gulf of Mexico?
I think so. If you're on
a day?
Like 24 hours.
No.
I don't know how fast those things go. It's a long way.
Somebody make a call. Anyway.
All these researchers. Nobody's doing anything. Fire them all.
Fire all the researchers. So, obviously, Wills, we are sad to see favorite. Him go. Was he?
I think so.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to say.
We're going to end the episode talking about this.
With a bold prediction. Yeah. So, I mean, he kind of got the Bachelor edit towards the end of his time. I think him expressing his feelings more so than I thought he was definitely a surprise for me. And then on top of that, I would say that him opening up in the van is a little bit of a nice edit for him. In addition to, let's not forget, anytime anybody stops the vehicle to get out and cry some more is big.
They don't show that unless there's a reason to keep you interested after your elimination.
Right.
So
maybe do we see Wills as the Bachelor? I don't know. Did I think that he would be the person that would be at the end of this? Absolutely not.
He was a surprising season.
Yes.
He's very likable, but he's just not super energetic. And the stuff he says is like dynamite.
Sure.
But he doesn't deliver it.
No.
He delivers it half asleep, because he always appears like he's half asleep.
And the rest of his, if he was The Bachelor, his whole season would be like that. He would be mumbling through the entire season.
It would be as bad as we think Becca is.
Yeah.
To watch.
I mean, I can only imagine he would probably make good decisions as The Bachelor, but...
Yes. He would pick the winner on the first night and then not give anybody else a chance, Becca.
Same. So, but I do feel like... And this is, we'll get into this later. If he's going to be our Black Bachelor, he's not the best choice.
I don't think he is.
No. So next up is Leo. So we lose Leo this week. Guys, before we get into this, did you know Leo was in a softcore porn movie?
I feel like you could put any adjective in front of porn and it doesn't matter. Softcore porn.
There's no insertion, Adam. There was no insertion. Everybody knows softcore porn. There's no insertion.
It doesn't matter to me if...
Just one long sex scene. That's it.
Softcore porn is so much closer to hardcore porn than it is to just like a regular movie.
Are you sure? Have you seen?
Listen, I was a teenager.
That movie that won that award about the shades of blue, the lesbians. That was pretty intense, and that was a film, not softcore porn.
I believe you. It was a film. It was not softcore porn. What Leo was in was softcore porn.
Correct.
So, yeah.
That movie was nominated for an Oscar. So.
I don't think Leo's movie was nominated
Shades
for an Oscar.
Shades of Blue. The darkest shade of blue. The lightest shade of blue.
The warmest shade of blue?
The warmest...
Color is blue.
Color is blue. The warmest...
I think that's right.
Blue is the warmest color! Yes!
Oh, well, it's the same thing I said, just with the words rearranged.
Yeah, it's the same. We all said the same thing. Yeah. Same movie.
Leo wasn't in that, though.
He was not in that. That was about French
He was
lesbians.
In some low-budget... I don't even know what type of platform this thing ends up on.
I think the movie was something about, it was like a sexy serial killer or something like that. Basically, she was a Black Widow. She would have sex with people and then murder them.
And she had sex with him and then killed him?
Correct.
Sounds interesting. What a great, you know, for a stuntman, you're like, yeah, he's going to be in a lot of movies. You don't imagine them to be like that.
I also thought it was very interesting that towards the end of his time on the show, he was very clear about, The guys on this show can offer Becca something that I can't, which is code for, I'm poor.
She doesn't even go here.
You know, you got all these guys on the show with real jobs, and Leo's just poor.
Is the long, unkempt hair the new poor kid haircut?
The man bun, you mean?
Well, Leo's, like, 2018 poor kid haircut.
Well, it is very lustrous, so I wouldn't call it the poor kid haircut. It's still bowl cut. It's still a poor kid.
It is something very noticeable about Leo. He's not stable like the other guys. Mm-hmm. Not even financially. Financially, no. He's probably not. But also just emotionally. Like, you don't know what to expect with him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of part of a relationship.
Well, and then he had also mentioned that he's sort of an adventurer. So I don't really know what that means either. Like, that means to me, like, you can't really hold down a steady job, and you like to travel a lot, but what?
Yeah, Leo had a great season. He was way better than we thought.
So funny.
He was funnier than we thought.
So funny.
He just, like, he ran his course.
Yeah, I mean, he's not somebody that you marry.
He was going
That's
to get...
That's really what it is.
Of these six guys, he was going to get sixth.
Oh, for sure.
And that's not his fault.
For sure. And he knew it. He
way
knew
go,
it.
Leo. So we're in the Bahamas. It's announced that we have three one-on-ones and then basically a three-on-one because you know she's going to pick her three favorites.
Right.
Which is dumb.
Which
for
is
the
dumb.
Three-on-ones.
Well, but they do it every season. None of this is a surprise. Usually it's a sort of a last-ditch effort for the lead to say, okay, tell me your weird family story. And boy, did we get one tonight.
Yeah, we did. You
Color
know,
me surprised. We haven't had a weird family story like this since what's his name? I can't remember
Dean.
Anybody's name tonight.
Dean.
Dean and the Aquarians.
They've been teasing.
Sounds like a band.
It does. Mm. They've been teasing that Colton's virginity story is going to be the big bomb that's dropped in this whole thing.
That was not it.
No, they missed. That was not.
That was a huge miss.
It was not correct.
So Colton's one-on-one
date. So Colton has the first one-on-one date. Colton and Garrett are her two favorite guys, and so she picks those two first, and then she's like, whatever, just put the rest of them in a hat and pull them out.
I don't care.
So she goes with Colton first.
Yes.
And
she's talking about his body, how he's an Adonis, and he probably knows how to put it down. Come to find out, he's a square who spent a lot of time playing football and not a lot of time banging the ladies. I also have a question. Do you think Colton does everything but the intercourse?
Yes.
So you think he's...
rounded third before. Yes.
Okay. All right. I didn't want to...
yes.
You saw my face and you saw how close I was to either saying something wildly graphic and or using sound effects. So thank you for stopping me.
He was with Allie Raisman. So first of all, how can you not?
Okay. So let's get past the beginning
of the day. I don't
know
if that's the one.
I feel like it's the one. He dated her for like a year and a half.
I don't know if that's the one. Cause like.
That is the question. Who is the one girl that he's talking about that he was in a relationship with?
Maybe it was just
and it was
woman.
Really hard. And I mean, the only person that I could anticipate that he would have been in a relationship with like that would have been challenging would have been with Allie Raisman because she was traveling a lot. She was never around. They
or
were,
could,
you know,
I mean,
that kind of thing.
But he did that on his own. He just traveled like he was a football player. So he was traveling a lot on his own. And he was, you know, he could have been in a relationship with somebody in a static location, but he's the one doing all the moving.
But then he said the timeline doesn't match up because he also mentioned that his most recent relationship was relatively recent. So the last person that he publicly would have dated would have been Allie Raisman.
How could you go from that to Becca?
I'm just, man, we're just telling you what happened. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Just from like a proportions perspective.
Sure.
Like a ratio of body distribution.
Or just, you know.
Those two are barely the same species.
I mean, it's really, do you want to be with somebody who is, I don't know, one of the greatest athletes of our time or a publicist from Minnesota? Pick one.
Yeah, and also one of them's like crazy attractive hot, and one of them hasn't eaten in months.
Months! So let's get back to the structure of the date. So Colton,
Speaking of eating,
oh boy. So Becca and Colton basically are on a boat for most of the day, and they meet up with this guy.
He
calls himself Action.
He's just about to drop the V-bomb. He's like, so I don't have a lot of experience. I've actually never, and then this Action jumps in on his little yellow, how is it, floating boat, and this guy's got dreadlocks, and his shirt's all, like, tattered.
Listen,
and
this guy is so high fashion, he would make Andre Leon Talley's head spin.
You see him, and you're like,
Why aren't you in Beyonce's next music video? That's what I thought initially.
They're like, what are we going to do? And at this point, you realize in your life, sometimes I call it a conch shell. Sometimes I call it a conch shell. I'm not sure what the official pronunciation is. I'm sure that one of those is only one sound away from a phallic reference. So they go with conch the entire time.
So you're talking about the word right?
We can't say that.
Well, you could bleep it out.
No. Stop it. My dad listens.
Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, then they just... I feel like we take a very serious detour in this date to make a bunch of... penis jokes?
Conk jokes.
Yes. It was distracting for me.
And then, like, they took out some part of the conch and ate it, and then Becca couldn't swallow the part of the conch. And then they had to talk about that, and it was hard to chew and hard to, like, eat, which, again, not great.
The whole thing is just a gigantic, messy metaphor for...
It's very juvenile.
For what Colton hasn't done to a person yet.
Well, you said he round third, so he was doing everything but that, so he should know how to eat some conch.
I think he's rounded third. And if I were with Allie Raisman, and this is no disrespect to you, if I were with Allie Raisman... I would have at least tried to steal home.
Cosign.
So, anyway.
We get to the evening portion of the date. And now is the time for Colton to lip sync for his life. And basically tell Becca, I am a virgin. I am a 26-year-old virgin.
And like a 26-year-old Adonis, like an excessively good-looking guy.
Adonis, yeah.
So he drops the bomb and she looks at him and she goes, really?
I know! And wait! Her response is my favorite thing.
And then she leaves.
She was like, her response was not like a, really? It was more, really? Like,
and then she leaves.
Come at me, surprise.
And she goes, really? And then she gets up and walks away.
I could hear the wheels turning in her head. She was thinking to herself, so I blew this whole Tia thing out of proportion because you really did only make out with her. Second of all, are you lying? Third of all, does he eat the conch? Fourth of all, are you lying? Because there's no way that Colton is
there's
a virgin.
There's no way that somebody who looks that good.
Nobody, really. I mean, but you know, I guess no means no, right? Hashtag me too.
Well, like, I mean, certainly no means no. But a person who is that attractive generally is attractive to, like, everyone and could literally just pick somebody out and they'd be like, yep.
Right. So the argument that Colton makes is that...
And he was a pro athlete.
Continue to pile on. Wait, not only is he a pro athlete, he's a pro athlete philanthropist with a dog from a small town.
The dog and the philanthropy thing kind of point towards like a puritanical lifestyle. The football thing is very opposite.
Right. But I mean, he even said it's not a religious thing or anything like that. Like, the kind of people that he would be around that would be attracted to all of these things are, oh, I don't know, everybody. And then on top of that, I would like to also address, I don't believe him. But I guess I have to. And then...
How do you not believe him?
I don't know.
That's what she was thinking. Really?
Yeah. Same.
Same. He's such a good-looking guy.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess on one level...
You imagine it's somebody like Steve Carell in the 40-Year-Old Virgin. You imagine it's somebody who's totally unattractive.
Would be a virgin.
Maybe he has too many options. Like paralysis.
Well, I mean, he said this whole beautiful thing where he was like, you know, I've never found somebody that matched my heart.
I was like, okay,
girl, sure. You didn't find any boobs big enough that you were like, I gotta motorboat these right now.
Yeah, but like, you know. You were never like a dumb kid, Colton? Like a dumb kid running around being hot?
Dumb kid running around being hot playing professional football. Hello?
It seems like a tall tale. It's true. I believe it. But,
I believe in Paul Bunyan, but I mean, here we are.
You don't believe in Paul Bunyan. No, you do. You think he's just walking around?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you know. Who's the one, the Steamboat Joe? Who's the other one?
Steamboat Joe.
Not Steamboat Joe. Who's the other one that was like, not Paul Bunyan, but like, yeah, or like John Henry. Those are real people. I believe in John Henry.
Sure. So, despite all of this...
Johnny Appleseed was a real person.
I don't think so. So, despite all of this, what do our researchers even do? There's masses of them sitting around.
I know.
Somebody should look up something.
Something.
So he gets the rose. She comes back and she's like, you know right. what? It's not really that big of a deal. I don't know why I walked away.
Well, it's obviously really. Not that big of a deal because next week she doesn't have to bang him. It's going to be a big deal next week. It's not going to be a big deal this week.
I think it seems pretty clear his parents are going to blow everything for him very soon.
Bingo.
Well, not before Jason's due, but we'll get to that later.
Well, let's see what Colton ends up blowing at the end of this. Oh, hello!
Let's go to the next one-on-one date. Okay. This is Garrett's. I barely took notes because he's already won.
Nothing happened. Classic walk and talk date.
And she was, yeah, so they went on a seaplane.
Yeah.
And then they landed and then they just sat around and talked a bunch. And it doesn't matter. She's so excited to see him. And she's so in love with him.
I think my main thing that I didn't know, and maybe this is because I've been so mad at Garrett for a long period of time, I didn't know that he was married.
He's been divorced, I guess?
Yeah. And somebody was saying to me...
I didn't know that either.
Somebody slid into the DMs and was like, oh, yeah, girl, they said that on the bobsled date. And I said, in what respect? Like...
I don't remember that.
And so he's been divorced, I guess. He basically started dating and got married to the first girl that ever liked him. And she was, quote unquote, as he would call, hot-headed. And to that answer, I would say, how did you provoke her behavior, Garrett? Second of all, I am confused by this whole thing. And like, how long has he been divorced? And he said he's gone out on other dates, blah, blah, blah. And here we are.
So here's what I don't understand about their relationship.
Sure.
When the two of them are together, she's never on air talking about anything. They just sit and she like leans into him really hard.
Oh, yeah.
She gives everything away with body language. Mm-hmm. And she just like stares at him and she's just like amazed that he exists.
And she changes her voice. So she goes real baby voice on guys that she likes. She goes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like.
Not like Lauren's mom, which.
So they meet up on the beach and she's like, listen, I love it when he holds me and kisses me. And I'm like, listen. This is your second date with this guy ever.
Take it easy.
Maybe calm down.
Take it easy.
And then they have this weird... This is probably the worst conversation of the season. She's like, yeah, I want to go in depth. And he's like, yeah, like, you know, so do I. And, you know, I just... And they have this... I think it's like a veiled conversation where they're both like, I'm really excited about this, but I'm worried that we're going to be engaged in like a week and we don't really know each other, but there's really no other way out of this.
Right.
It's like speed. They're both in this 50-mile-an-hour like bus with a bomb in it.
Because I thought you thought you were talking about Quaaludes.
No, it's like speed, but there's no actual ending. There's like a wall and they can either let the bomb explode or drive 50 miles an hour into the wall. And then let the bomb explode. They're both realizing that they're in this thing and they're having to get engaged in like a month.
Yeah.
And they both, at the same time, they're both like, oh, maybe this, like, no. Maybe there's a lot I don't realize.
Yeah, maybe we need to talk about, you know, stuff.
And then they just both keep it up like, yep, this is the best thing ever. I'm so in love. Like, this is the end of the whole thing.
So Garrett gets the rose. She's going to Reno, Nevada next week. Sounds awesome.
If I'm Vegas and I'm handicapping this thing, I think Garrett wins like 19 times out of 20.
Well, based on
she's
how
she's so into him.
Based on how she defended him based on his Instagram posts and things, I think you're totally
That's a
right.
thing you say when you've just already made the decision and you're going to have to deal with the ramifications 100%. Later.
100%. So we get to Blake. So Blake has basically had a meltdown this entire episode.
What a conniption.
Whew! And come to find out, sorry guys, I said this last week. Now, as we know, Adam believes...
Come to find out is the new drinking game for our show.
Come to find out. Here's the thing. Come to find out. Oh, whoa!
I think you said come to find out more than I've said the here's the thing this season.
I agree. I think come to find out is my new thing. So next season, that gets a ding. Not this time, because... we'd be dead.
We gotta come up with a new sound effect for it. Not a ding.
We'll figure it out.
The ding makes sense for Here's the Thing, because it rhymes.
Yeah.
Come to find out. We'll think about it. Send us suggestions. Leave
a
comment.
I'd love suggestions.
If you're listening to this, you're allowed to leave comments.
Please, I'd love comments.
Okay.
So, I feel like Blake, I thought he was younger than he was. He's actually 28, and Colton is younger than he is. So, Blake acts like he's 12. Colton acts like he's 35, minus the virginity thing. And so, Blake pretty much has been having a meltdown the entire episode about, oh my God, Becca doesn't even see me. Like, I'm freaking out.
I'm
not getting a one-on-one. What am I going to do? This is crazy. Blase, blase. So they go out on their one-on-one date. All of a sudden, Blake's, this weight has been lifted off his shoulders. My God, he has so much on his mind. And they go on another classic walk and talk date. And guess who the private concert is?
It's not a private concert.
That's true.
But this is, I think this is the big question of the date. Oh, sorry. It's the Baha Man.
The seminal early 2000s one-hit wonder and singer of Who Let the Dogs Out, the Baha Man.
They had another song,
the original Amigos.
Did they have another song for the... for the Rugrats movie, or was it, or was it Who Let the Dogs Out again?
I think it was also some version of Who Let the Dogs Out that might have been a Reptar version of that.
Oh, who let, like, the dinosaurs out?
I don't know. Somebody find it. We'll figure it out.
The Baha Men are hilarious for what they are.
Yes, I mean, to me, they are the original Migos. All three of them had their own personality. They dressed up in fly, flowery costumes. There was a gimmick. There was dances involved. I mean,
okay, come on. Let me ask you this. As a
Van Bougie is the modern version of Who Let the Dogs Out.
As a thought experiment.
Okay.
What would you rather do? Dance in private where nobody can see you to Morgan Evans or one of these other no-name... Didn't we have somebody named Morgan Evans this year?
No, I played soccer with her, remember?
Oh, yeah, right. Would you rather dance in private to an absolutely terrible band or dance in public to an absolutely terrible band that had one hit 15, 20 years ago?
Depends on...
And that band is the Bottom.
Damn it, I was trying to get out of this. I was about to say, what if it's Aqua and they're playing Barbie Girl? Well, what if it's B.B. Mac and I could get on stage and play Back Here with them on the
first
guitar?
First of all, they had way more than one hit. And they did. I don't think you could play the song guitar.
I can.
But like a gimmick band. Well, I'm not talking about like the Cranberries or something. I'm talking about a fake gimmick band.
So like if it was Rebecca Black and she was singing Friday.
Yes.
Ooh.
Would you rather dance in public to a gimmick band 20 years later... or dance in private with just one person and eat just a real private concert?
I would dance in public.
I would pick the other way.
Really? Why?
I would dance in private and I would just make jokes the whole time about how terrible Morgan Evans is.
I would like dance in public because it's funny and it's more of the pop culture irony that I would want
to
share.
I think
with
this
somebody.
Has more to do with how we feel about public dancing than how we feel about the music.
I think so too.
So this date, it's kind of boring. Like Blake's like, listen, remember my parents are divorced? It's such a big thing.
Wait, everyone's I'm going to stop you right there before we get to this great thing that we are going to talk about. So what if it was Eiffel 65?
Oh, I love Eiffel 65.
And it was a public concert and they were playing Blue.
You know,
what would you do?
I would still take the private.
Really? You love that song so much.
I do, and I love their follow-up to it. There was the same song and the same video and everything. I don't remember what it was called, but it was... I don't remember, but I love Blue.
Okay.
You know, I was just saying.
What if it was the that other band, the Monkees?
He just wants somebody to listen.
Okay. Shut up, Adam.
That's all he needs, man.
So Blake and Becca go to their evening date. Blake is like, you know, so excited that they're finally getting to spend time together. And so Becca asks the question, okay, so who am I going to meet on your hometown date? Like, who would I hang out with? And so Blake would say, well, as you know, my parents are divorced. And we're like, great, cool.
Everyone's parents are divorced. Big deal. Family has drama.
What? D-R-A-M-A. Drama. Right there.
We've got drama. This is fun.
Nobody has lifetime movie drama. Girl, like Blake's family.
This was like the second season of The OC when Jimmy Cooper was cheating on Julie. No, wait. Jimmy was never cheating on Julie. Jimmy was philandering money from the family business. Julie was
philandering money?
Yeah.
Laundering money.
You know what I said.
You philandering
Julie
money.
Was the one that was cheating on Jimmy Cooper with Kirsten's dad. Oh, wait. Something like that was happening. This basically sounds like the second season of The OC.
No more illusions. Here's what actually happened.
Yes.
Blake's mom and dad were together.
Yeah.
And then Blake's mom fell in love with somebody else and decided to end the relationship with his dad.
Now, falling in love, is that a reach? Or that's are what you he trying
said.
To be nice?
He said, she started a relationship, had an affair.
Better.
Okay, this is what makes it juicy.
Juicy.
The affair is with the basketball coach. His high school basketball coach slash English teacher.
What? That was crazy. I've never heard anything like that.
And it was
like
while he was in high school. So he had to show up and look at this guy every day.
Every day. And then kids at school were talking about his mom banging his basketball coach slash English teacher. And then people at school were saying, I hear your mom's moving into an apartment with the basketball coach.
It's like this happened in Freaks and Geeks.
What?
This happened in Freaks and Geeks.
I know. This kind of stuff only happens on television. This literally only, I've never heard of anything like this happening in real life. This is crazy.
So she was like, Blake, who do I meet if I go to your hometown? He's like, well, you get to meet my mom and my stepdad and my basketball coach and my English teacher. And it's only two people.
And my real dad.
It's like one of those riddles where it's like, a father and a grandfather and two sons and two daughters are all in a boat, but there's only two people. How does this happen? It's like that.
It's like that, but real life.
It's like you're going to dinner with all of my faculty of my high school plus my mom, but it's only two people. What's up?
So that was pretty crazy.
Highlight of
the season. And as previously discussed, we have not gotten this much drama since Dean and the Aquarians.
I think this is better than that.
This is better than that. Because this is juicy, real-life, white-collar, petty drama.
White trash, collar, petty drama.
This is the only kind of drama. This is the kind of stuff that happens in Marin.
The real loser here is Wills. Because she was going to dump him. And then she was like, wait a second. I get to meet this guy if I go to your hometown?
This basketball coach better be Brad Pitt. Because if he's not, I am going to be wildly upset. Well, and then come to find out.
Judging by what his mom looks like.
Then we find out what Blake's mom looks like. And I'm like, what a waste. Okay?
Boy. I mean, you know, like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder and everything. But, like, who is beholding that?
Listen.
She is. It's either that or she went to the stylist because she's gonna be like, yeah, ABC's coming over because my son's coming home for dinner, so you gotta make me look like something.
I want you to color my hair something so dark that you can't even see me at night.
I want something so fly we've never tried it before. And they're like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah, first time's gonna be great.
Let's go crazy.
And it wasn't.
She's like, I want a fresh haircut the day before I'm supposed to be on television.
Oh, well, she needs more than that.
Yikes. So she gives the rose to Blake. Then we get to our 3-on-1 date.
This kind of happened with a lot less drama than I thought it would be. Yeah. All the guys get in a boat. They go to a romantic island with her, I guess. And then she talks to all three of them individually. And the conversations go kind of like you think. Wills, it bothers me that she says this. She's always like, Wills, I love how you're just nerdy like me. And I'm like, listen, look at what you're wearing. Little, like, tiny little white jean shorts and, like, a yellow tank.
Listen,
and
now look at what Wills is wearing. She's been styled within an inch of her life by the producers and by the stylist.
I saw her when she was in his position and she was wearing normal person clothes. You don't look at what Wills is wearing and be like, yeah, you're nerdy like me.
Wills is too high fashion for you, girl. So he is living in 3008.
And then she's doing the same thing with Jason that she did to Garrett, where she's, like, She's not even sitting next to him. She is sitting atop. She's leaning so far to the side. She's trying to get inside of him.
Listen, I love Jason so much. I have grown to enjoy him. I think, as I've discussed in the early episodes...
You can look past the murders.
I can look past the murders. I can look past the fact that he knows how to tie a slipknot like nobody. And you know what? I'm okay with it. And, you know... We can always change the haircut. Maybe he looks dumb with a regular haircut. Maybe that's why his hair is all slicked back and
maybe
stuff.
Maybe his hair looks better in real life than on TV. Maybe
it does. Maybe it's thick. Maybe it's thin. Maybe it's slicked back like that because he's balding.
Whatever. So she meets with these two, and then she meets with Leo, and the conversation is just wildly different.
Yeah.
She sits down, and it's not, there's no leaning, there's mm-mm. no, mm-mm. he's, like, aggressively kissing her all over the face the whole time. He feels like he's, like, got some making up to do, and he's gonna do it all right now.
He's like, I know that I'm poor, but let me show you that I can probably...
I am rich with kisses.
Put it down better than Colton.
Because he's been in the porn.
Yes. That is specifically what I was bringing up.
Oh, sorry. I was just overtly saying it.
No, the porn.
Yeah. So he's like, listen, I'm into you, but I feel like I'm different from all these other guys. They're all kind of just like boring jabronis, and I'm just, it's exciting, but I'm sincere. And the thing is...
All that is true.
The thing is, number one, he's right.
All that's true.
Number one, he's right. Number two, he just opens the door for him to, or for her to close it right in his face.
I think if Becca was a completely different person, Leo would be the guy for her. Like,
it's a pretty big if, don't
here's
you think?
What I'm here's, hear me out. Hear me out here. If Becca was Caitlin Bristow, she would be all over this.
I feel like she ended up picking a guy who was a pretty boring jabroni, too.
Yeah, but like...
Every girl just picks the guy they fall in love with on the first night.
Yeah, but everyone, at least they like to work out, like, together and do that whole working out thing. But at least it seems like Leo is so, like, adventurous. Like, it's almost like he would be a good match for Kendall from last season.
I think he'd be a good match for a lot of people. But
for, like, Becca, baby Becca.
He's very alternative. I don't know if two alternative people just automatically click since they're both like non-traditional.
Say alternative again.
I didn't. I said non-traditional.
Alternative.
Now you're saying it.
Non-traditional.
I don't know if that works out. I just he is not a fit for her.
No.
He is way too much, and she's way too little, and they're just not like.
I don't anticipate her bringing him to meet her family, and her family saying.
You gave up eating for this?
Right, him?
So anyway, he's just like, listen, I don't feel like I'm like the other guys. And she goes, yep, you're not. See ya.
Bye.
And now it's down to just Wills and Jason, which is the real decision. The only real decision she has to make.
And which we talked about a lot last week. We were thinking to ourselves, okay, maybe it's going to be Wills. And then Jason really came in hot.
I think Jason's the right call here.
Jason's definitely the right call.
I think Jason's the right call. I think he's got a higher ceiling than Wills. Wills just doesn't seem very excitable. And I think at this late in the game, you kind of have to be. All the other guys are bringing a lot of energy to their one-on-one things. And you can't be half asleep. Even if it's tearing you up inside, you got to like push it.
Right. And it does seem like Wills might be a harder sell for her family than the other way around. I think bringing Wills to her family with his sort of monotone thing and then also him being a graphic designer, I think that also could be a piece of it. Like, it's hard, in my experience, in my short time working in the advertising industry, next to a lot of creatives, it is hard to...
You got more time than she does, or he does.
That is true. It is hard. It could be hard to articulate to your family, who is a Midwestern traditional type person, that somebody like Wills or in his position with some of his extracurricular activities. I'm talking about marijuana smoking.
He definitely smokes.
Would be a provider and a family man at this age and stage of his life.
And on top of that, you got to convince him that you gave up eating for months.
Months. For a guy who wears a onesie that's printed.
It's separate leopard prints. Separate leopard printed items together.
Separate leopard print items together.
Different leopard prints.
Or wears a sweatshirt that says Wills on it.
I think that's dope.
It is very cool.
I want that thing to go on sale so I can buy it.
Wait, do you want a Wills sweatshirt or do you want an Adam Scott?
No, Wills.
I think we could find it. So she lets Wills go, even after he says, has this beautiful speech about how he feels about her. And
she already made up
all
her
this
mind.
Kind of stuff. Like, I mean, I would have picked Jason too, after all that.
She made up her mind already.
But it did seem like she, in Jason's sort of conversation with her, that she was making stuff up to try to have a challenging conversation with him.
I felt like that with Blake a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like, and maybe this is just me, I think there of the five guys who are left at this point, because Leo's gone, I think she likes Blake the least.
Really? Because she was, like, crying when he said, I love you.
I think she likes him the least, and the producers are like, we all know that you picked Garrett, so we're going to sacrifice Blake as the number two person here, because second place is probably worse than fifth. Mm. And so she's gonna string Blake along and make him get second.
Interesting.
So anyway, let's do power rankings and bold predictions real quick,
please. Because my whole bracket, and I'll just say this to you guys, I'm playing a bracket with a bunch of friends. It is shot right now. My picker is either off this season or I don't know, bro. Like, Becca is.
Did you pick Garrett to win?
Not yet.
That's on you.
Not yet.
Oh, well,
no, I mean, we do a week-to-week bracket, and every week I am wild. I have been duped by editing, my picker is off, like, something is really wrong.
You should
me.
Listen to your husband right now. I'm about to tell you how it all breaks down.
Ugh, no.
In bold predictions, not in the power rankings.
Who's your number four?
Blake. Don't like him. He's cheesy and fake. And also, I just, like, don't melt down. You're on a dating show.
Yeah.
All right?
My number four is a tie between Jason and Colton. I could kind of go either way.
Is this your number three? You have two number threes, or you have two number fours and like a gap somewhere in there?
Well, I put Jason as number four, but now I'm rethinking it, basically. So I really like Jason. I think she wants to sleep with Jason. I want to sleep with Jason, which means she's going to want to sleep with Jason. But the problem is that she's going to get to the hometowns. She's going to meet Colton's family, and she's going to realize that, oh, wait, I'm going to have to take this guy to the fantasy suite. Not saying that you have to have sex with everybody in the fantasy suite, but come on. So
it's not called the conversation suite.
It's not called it's not called let's have some coffee suite. It's not called let's shoot what breakfast looks like the next day and everybody's, you know, must and fussed and whatever. So I think she's going to have some sort of conversation with herself where she's like, okay, can I reasonably
get... Oh, so you think Colton's going to be out now.
Right. Can I reasonably get to the fantasy suite, through the fantasy suite with Colton, and pretty much think about marrying him off of everything but P&V?
I think Colton is so attractive that if I were in her shoes, and I were a woman attracted to men, I would
take... Okay, you said that really quickly.
I would take just rounding third with Colton over the entire cycle with any of the other three guys.
But that means you are then risking, you know...
She's already picked Garrett, so it doesn't...
That's
true.
It's
not like you're locking one down.
This is all hypothetical. But let's say that happens, and then you get engaged. Then you are risking, because a woman would think about all of this stuff.
Engaged to Colton. Oh, but in her mind, this is not a possibility.
I know.
She's already
picked
Garrett.
But this is about my power rankings.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Sure.
So if you get engaged, you are then risking the timeline of not having sex with said person until they feel like your heart's match, to use the words that he used. Because you have been on a dating show for 8 weeks. I don't know you. I don't know. I'm supposed to propose to you, and we're supposed to be in love. And we're also supposed to be having the intercourse with each other. So if we do everything but that, we get engaged, and we're not getting married right away either, I don't necessarily have to have sex with you right away. So the timeline between the engagement and when you could possibly have sex is wildly nebulous. And I don't want to take that chance.
Well, I mean, that's why he could be your number four. But, you know.
I have him at three, though.
We're going to feel different about Colton.
I feel like he knows what that mouth do.
We might have people in exactly the inverse order. My number three is Garrett. I don't really like him. I think he's kind of boring, but I really only like one guy anymore. So I think he's better than Blake because I can stand him, but that's it.
we've already had the long conversation about my 3 and 4.
Right.
My number 2 is Garrett. She really likes him.
You have Garrett at 2?
I know. I don't like it either.
She's gonna... You think she's into somebody else more than Garrett?
Yeah.
Wow. I would like to place a bet with you. I have Jason at number 2.
I like Jason.
I like Jason
for myself.
I'm coming around to Jason.
I like Jason.
He seems really sweet.
He's a nice guy.
Let's go to Buffalo and meet Jason's family.
Yeah.
I've got Colton at number 1. He's a dreamboat.
I've got Blake at number 1.
You think she's going to pick Blake over Colton?
The tears spoke over volumes Garrett. To me. When he said, I love you, and she was crying about it, and then she did that whole speech about, like, my heart is, you know, we are soulmates, blah, 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 whatever that crap was that she said. I was like, oh, she's in
I genuinely think she's just in love with whoever's in front of her right there.
I mean, but that's the whole premise of the show. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to compartmentalize these relationships.
She doesn't do it with Wills because he doesn't shine very brightly onto her, so she doesn't reflect it back.
No.
But,
give it back.
I think what she likes about Blake is that she can sacrifice him into the ultimate loser number 2 spot, and it won't be a problem.
So, moving on to bold predictions. Part of this bold predictions is not only going to be about hometowns. Of course, obviously, we will have the traditional conversation of the, you know, how do I know that you really are into my son, and, you know, you're dating 3 other guys at the same time. I mean, we know that that's going to be part of the conversation.
Yeah.
I would like to hear whatever advice Blake's mom thinks she has to say, because she's got some nerve providing him with any love advice.
Is there a bold prediction in there somewhere?
It's coming. Okay. Bold prediction, I think Colton is going to have a challenging family situation, probably because she likes him so much.
Oh, see, I thought
and
it looked
on
like...
top of that, it looks like the girls come back to provide their final
that's
fearless
true.
Feedback. And then Tia gets involved. She says something that's going to change everything. And Colton goes home.
I think it looks like Jason's family is the big up of this season for the hometowns. I think Jason's going to get 4th. And immediately she's gonna cut him with like 20 minutes left in the episode. And then we're going to flashback to Tia, and she's going to be like, I have something to tell you. Boom. End of next week episode. And then we begin the fantasy suite episode, where it's all this hubbub, like, oh my god, is she going to go in the fantasy suite with Colton? What's going on? And then we're going to end the Tia conversation, and Tia's going to be like, here's something you got to know. And she's going to cut Colton before the fantasy suite.
So
only 2 guys are going to go.
I agree with you, but I don't think it's going to happen in that timeline. Now that you say that, I do think she's going to lose 2 people next week and not 1 person.
Okay. See, I think it's going to be 1 next week and then 1 at the beginning of the fantasy suites. And then it's just going to be between Garrett, the winner, and Blake, the straw man, who is set up to fail.
Yeah. Somehow she's going to get to the fantasy suite, like, finale
with two.
Maybe.
And she's going to be like, I love them both.
Or like somebody's going to eliminate themselves or something's going to happen.
I think she's going to.
Because we already know that Colton is on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah. Well, and we already know that.
With Tia.
It would be so mind-blowing to me if Garrett didn't win. It would be so mind-blowing.
So now that we're at this point, now that we're at the final 4, now is the time to talk about who from this group could be the next Bachelor?
Nobody.
Okay.
Look, so you're not going to go with somebody who finished worse than 6th. So tonight's guys, that's all you got.
Sorry, Hot John.
Leo, no chance.
None, absolutely.
You mean to tell me ABC's going to put their money on that animal on camera?
He was in a softcore porn!
Wills? Not
definitely not.
Look at what
he
you
is
just...
not camera ready.
Look at this season. This season is terrible because Becca can't be on camera. Wills is even worse than she is.
Not camera ready.
Colton's going to be on Bachelor in Paradise.
Right, and he's already been around the block, if you know what I mean. So I think it would not look good on him to be on Bachelor in Paradise and then be on The Bachelor.
Sure.
Even though Nick Viall was a special case, but I think it's because he had such a good relationship with the producer.
Jason and Blake, I view, is in the same boat, where these guys weren't even really contenders until the last couple of weeks, and as the audience, we don't really like them that much.
I think it would be more likely that Blake would be the Bachelor over Jason being the Bachelor.
I think the audience has more of a connection with Leo than either one of those guys, and obviously Leo is not... He's too much of a wild card to be in
there. Oh, for sure.
I really don't know who it is. Assuming Garrett wins, even if he doesn't, they couldn't pick him anyway. They couldn't pick him.
No, not after all this.
I think it's going to be somebody outside this season.
I agree. I think they have set the precedent with Ari that they're going to pick somebody from outside of the regular pool.
Ari and Nick in a row. This might be the third time they do it.
Yeah, I think there is a chance that, you know, we could pull back from somebody who is brown. It's not going to be Kenny, because Kenny is also on Bachelor in Paradise. It could be Eric, but I think Eric is also on Bachelor in Paradise, too.
They do that with Nick.
Nick was a special case. I don't think that they would do that normally. And the only other option is not really an option.
I don't know who it's going to be.
It's not going to, and I will say it again, it's not going to be Peter.
What if it's Jesse Palmer again?
Oh, girl. He's hosting the proposal show. He can't be on The Bachelor.
That's what I'm saying. That they're putting him on TV, giving him his own show again.
He's married now.
Is he really?
I think so.
Okay.
So that's out.
I really don't know who it would be.
I don't know either.
What if it's Chris Harrison?
That old bag? Are you kidding me?
Listen.
His neck has fallen worse than
Oprah's.
They've
been making bad decisions for, like, what, 7 seasons in a row now?
It's true.
I don't know who the last person they picked that I actually liked was. JoJo, maybe?
You liked JoJo?
Of the last, 6 or 7 seasons? She's better. She's certainly better than any of the guys we've had.
Yeah, but all 4 of her guys looked exactly the same. They literally had the same V-neck.
Can't help
on.
What you're into.
Ugh.
I mean, whatever. There's no end to this bold prediction.
Yeah, we will continue to discuss. There's going to be a lot of research that comes. Hopefully, whatever bold prediction ends up coming with The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, let's hope the background checks go a little bit better this time around.
Yeah.
They won't. We'll see you guys next week. We love you. We miss you. We need you in our lives. Bye!
It's 2018.
The ring will be revealed with the man. I have no idea what was going on, but I was living for it.
You had some accidents.
Leave. I don't want you here. Get out.
Please get back in the limo.
Oh, you'll have so much fun, don't you know?